This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QueerFam for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Welcome!
Hi, we're back!
If These Ovaries Could Talk, season two begins now.
Right now, this second. I hope you're ready.
I just turned it into like almost like a basketball tournament.
Yeah, I don't go
like,
there.
It got very ESPN there.
Well, I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
For season two and season one as well.
Both seasons.
Isn't it amazing we didn't replace ourselves in the off season on the hiatus? Let's discuss what happened on our hiatus.
Oh my God, Robin. First of all, I'd like to say I got recognized on the street.
Oh, okay. Also, I got recognized at my job. And I know that sounds weird. Like, yeah, of course you did. It's your job. But like a new employee saw my If These Ovaries Could Talk sticker. And she was like, why do you have that? And I was like, no, that's my podcast. And she was like, my wife and I are big fans.
That's amazing. Yeah, I was on the phone with my wife on the street. And this girl like, I'm sorry, I don't usually do this. I was like, oh my God, you can do this all the time.
Like really, for anyone who should ever see us.
Like, we love just, it.
We're not going to be upset by
no.
it. I mean,
because we're nobodies and we know it.
By the way, now no one's going to do it because we sound like losers.
I know. Yeah.
So I took some vacation time. What about you?
I sure did.
We hit the Cape.
Ooh, I've spent a lot of time on the Cape in my life.
What did you take some time off there, Jamie?
I did.
From my Google Docs and spreadsheets.
do I ever look at your Google Docs and spreadsheets?
You don't. It's so upsetting to me.
I do sometimes. I'm getting better at it.
You are.
I did actually on my vacation. We took a week at the beach with our friends.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
We did that. That was fun. Spent some time in San Francisco, which is not necessarily a vacation because that's
shout out
just
to your mom.
Going home. Yeah. Shout out to moms.
Well, we got a little bit of a book deal on the hiatus.
We're writing a book.
We're going to be working with Lit Riot Press and our good friend Ben Taylor. And we're
who
super
I love.
Excited.
I love Ben Taylor. He thinks I'm hilarious, so I love him. So we're going to be we have to write the book. So yeah, there's that.
That's going to probably happen.
We signed a contract.
It's
probably
definitely happening, Ben.
And
I feel like we had another big piece of news.
We had a huge piece of news.
What's that?
We got nominated for the People's Choice Podcast Awards.
Right?
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, I'm like beside myself.
That didn't come from us, guys.
It came from the people.
The people.
Whoever
voted.
Whoever
thank you
were
people.
Who submitted us, we love you and we thank you.
That it's so exciting to be nominated for something.
I know.
Wow.
And that's all the time we had. That was our hiatus.
Then we did it all. Anyway, I feel like people are like, I don't want to listen to these two. Let's get to it, yeah. Shall we?
All right. Our first guest, who I'm super excited about.
Me too.
Emma Brox.
Emma Brox, a fellow author.
Oh. insulting to Emma Brox.
I know. She's a true, real author, published more than once. But she wrote this book called An Excellent Choice, Panic and Joy on My Solo Path to Motherhood.
So as you can imagine, we're going to be talking about being a single mom by choice.
Yes, she's a single mom by choice, which is the reason we wanted to talk to her in the first place. And then once we read her book, we realized, oh my goodness, this woman has a lot more of a story.
She has quite honestly the most interesting relationship set up that I've ever heard of.
It's amazing.
Have we piqued your interest?
I hope so.
Let's get to it.
Okay. Welcome, Emma.
Oh my God. I mean, you're our first real life author sitting in this chair.
Yes. Really? I'm honored. Thank you for having me.
So we've both read your book, An Excellent Choice. It's actually propped up over there on the side so that we can stare at it every once in a while during the interview.
Excellent.
It's a fantastic book.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for writing it.
It's just well written and fun. I actually did the audio book version of it, which was like, I feel like we're friends now. So I think I might be creepy.
You read it.
Be creepy. Sure.
In the audio book, like it's
I read it,
right?
Yeah. Which was weird and awkward because there's a lot of gynecology in the book.
Yeah. Yes.
I felt no shame writing it, but reading it aloud,
isn't that funny?
Some shame.
Robin has experienced that a little bit because on our podcast, we have to say some words.
Yeah. I don't do well with the words. My face is getting red
like
now.
Vagina. I know. See, everybody just cringed.
All right. Let's get off us because I feel like that's the best way to go out of that jam.
Let's talk elevator pitch.
Always start elevator pitch. So elevator pitch about you and your family, because you have a family with a capital F.
The elevator pitch that I say to myself, because the whole point of an elevator pitch I thought was that it's supposed to be the cleanest sell.
Sure. Right, right.
So it is just single mother by choice of twins.
Okay. So that's the really, really condensed, like that's the brown sugar packed tight version, right?
Kitchen metaphors.
That brackets with a sort of partner who lives upstairs with her own child that she had on her own.
Wow. Now it just got juicy.
That is close brackets, full stop.
Oh
my God, Jamie, you need to listen to this. Listen.
We were hanging out at Cowboy with our kids and our wives, celebrating pride with some sweet potato fries. When your eyes got wide and migrated from your Frito pie, you said, hey, I got an idea. So we made a million Google Docs, which sounds a bit insane, but so is getting lost when you're just two blocks away. And in spite of heavy breathing and your pregnancy brain, our podcast baby was born.
Yeah.
If these ovaries could talk, they'd be Robin keeping us on track so dutifully.
If these ovaries could talk,
they'd be Jamie saying everything is beautiful,
because love is love.
If you don't have to make a family by taking the traditional route.
That is amazing. Where did you get this?
No big deal, but I used Songfinch to have a song made about us kicking off season 2.
Robin, that's so very thoughtful of you.
No, I know. Oh. Listen, I'm very thoughtful. I don't think I get enough credit for that. Mm. But listen to me. At Songfinch, you can get personalized songs that start at $99 and they are delivered in 7 days. 7 days, Jamie.
Wow. So wait, so they just have songwriters on staff?
Yeah, that's like their whole thing. They have this songwriting community with over 300 professional musicians.
Wow. I should do one for Anne. I need to.
You should.
I should.
I think you're probably usually in trouble at home. Excuse me. Wait a minute. No. You need to do one for me. This is
Well, that makes sense because I'm usually in trouble with you.
It's a valid point.
I'll do one for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
And for everyone at home, you can make one too. Ooh. So you just need to go to songfinch.com and use their promo code OCT and you get $20 off your own personalized song from scratch.
Oh, so there's no reason why you shouldn't.
None.
We all should.
Do it.
I want like 5 more of these.
Okay, well, let's do that.
Wow.
Okay, well, so let's start with the single mother by choice thing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I turned 37. That was it.
Right.
Uh-huh. Which is early. I mean, I've been upbraided by lots of women who tell me I shouldn't have started panicking until 44. That's
44?
I know.
Right. Well, that's crazy talk.
I think
44,
so.
44, you're not using your own eggs.
Right. Exactly.
Well, you know what? If I hadn't met my wife who was older than me, I wouldn't have thought about it until I was in my 40s. I think I'm 40 now. I would have started thinking about it now.
I would have around your age. 37 was like such 38 a big fan.
Yeah. You guys are planners.
And I was really worried about the money because I knew that it was going to be expensive because it was going to have to be assisted. Mm-hmm. And every year after 40 was going to be another 15 grand.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I've got to
Or just like, cracking. Also for me, it was math. Mm. It was like every year beyond that, I was doing the math of how old I would be when my kid was 18.
Oh, really?
Like when they're coming out of college, am I going to be like the old lady who's just like, my back, you know? By the way, I am going to be that. I already am now.
We already are.
Yeah,
we
are. Right. No, I didn't think of the age thing. Yeah, but I did. I thought in terms of money and I thought in terms of outcome that I would be devastated if I couldn't do
right.
it.
Right. Right.
Which which was a shock to me also, because it's not like I hadn't sat there for 5 years like hoping that I could have a kid.
No, even in your book, you talk about how it wasn't like a big dream of yours. Mm-mm.
You didn't,
so much
you didn't,
so.
You didn't think you'd be a parent?
I thought I would, but it was just like a background assumption.
Right. Right.
Suddenly the possibility that it wouldn't happen just completely floored me.
It just overtook you.
So, yeah. So then it honestly took about another 18 months of dithering to actually action that.
What were you doing during the dithering?
There were so many choices to make. I mean, like apart from like sourcing the donor sperm, the fact that I, you know, choosing a doctor, figuring out where I was going to have the kid.
Did you have the kid in the United States?
I did. But for a millisecond, I thought, you know, all of my homing pigeon instincts kicked in and I was like, I can't do this in a foreign country. I have to go back to Britain.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Which was ridiculous and impractical.
Were you alone here? Like, did you have friends or family here?
I had friends, no family. My dad's in London. I just started in this relationship, but it wasn't deep set enough to necessarily destabilize that. And then luckily, while I was in the middle of this, I went back to London for a week and was reminded of why I left in the first place.
Oh.
Which is why, I'm curious.
Well,
I love London.
Because I want to leave.
I adore London. I'm sure I'll end up back there at some point. But it's just, especially if it's something like elective, like it's amazing if you are genuinely sick, because obviously it's all free. And
I have to say, it's amazing how you talk about healthcare in our country versus England.
Yeah.
Because I look at it like, oh my God, they have everything. It's free. But please delve into this, because I found this fascinating in your book.
I mean, the benefit massively outweighs the cost. The NHS will look after you, you know, kind of from the cradle to the grave. That's what it's supposed to do. But in this one particular area, I think if it's effectively a lifestyle choice, it is not set up to give you choices.
Right.
Because why should it? It's an incredibly expensive procedure, which means that the private sector hasn't developed to the extent that it has over here in terms of fertility clinics. So you've just got a much narrower choice. And also because compared to the US fertility industry, the British one is massively regulated. There's a donor sperm shortage.
A shortage?
Yeah, a total shortage, because they changed the law a few years ago so that there's no such thing as anonymous donor sperm. Children have a right to trace now. So no guys are donating.
When
they're 18,
Yeah, but can you imagine all those guys who like
want
to be drunk in
college
and donate?
They just want money.
Totally. Yeah. It's a huge disincentive. So there's a waiting list at lots of clinics.
Uh-huh.
And there's also, you can't find anything out either. It's all like friends of mine who've done it in England, most of them have shipped sperm from the US.
My bank ships internationally.
Is it?
And in our donor family, there's someone in Australia, someone in Colombia, and I want to say another country in one of my kids' donors, because I have two different donors.
In Britain, they make you have counseling if you're a single woman who wants to have a kid on her own and have fertility treatment. You have to go and see a therapist.
Oh, now we had to do that here.
Did you?
Because for IVF, if the other person is going to get your eggs, because my partner and I looked into that, I had to do we had to meet with a therapist and then I had to do psychological profile testing.
Oh, wow.
Before, because I guess the FDA treats it like I'm giving her a liver.
Oh, interesting.
That was a new law.
I mean, I've calmed down about it a bit now, and actually, it's not a bad thing in and of itself, but to me, it sent the signal that this was perverse and that it was dysfunctional.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But question, would they still pay for portions of it, but you just have to jump through a lot of hoops, or are you still also paying the way that you pay here?
Oh, so you can get it on the NHS, but you won't. Like the waiting list is so long.
10 years.
So you would go to a private clinic. Exactly, it would take forever. And in your late 30s, you would qualify for a very few cycles. So, but the private clinics, I think, are still either mandated or strongly recommended to offer counseling services to single women who rock up asking for.
Is it the same for lesbian couples or gay couples?
I don't think it is. I think it's the condition of being single and wanting a child that is seen to be deeply
is a big problematic. Bias, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Had you been married to a woman, it might have been an easier path.
Because it would be very easy because British laws are very liberal about that.
Right.
Okay. And it's interesting. It's the same deal like with insurance companies. Insurance companies obviously are now have to because of discrimination, anti-discrimination laws pay for gay couples having fertility treatment, but they don't have to pay for single women.
Oh, still interesting.
Oh. Yeah, my insurers wouldn't cover it.
Wow.
That's
it's so funny because it's like something that we don't think about because we're all steeped in our, you know, we're being discriminated against and all that business, but it's another step worse for a single woman.
I mean, how many women have a partner at first and then they're gone as soon as the baby comes?
It's
every woman's struggle,
especially
isn't it?
Because you could just be like some states like New York, you could just be a domestic partner. It's like $35 in a form and then $36 to not be a domestic partner.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like you could do that.
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, that would have been a ways around.
Sorry.
but then you wouldn't have had your book.
You wouldn't have the book we're pointing at. An excellent choice.
It was totally worth it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah. So in the end, I just came running back into the arms of the American system, just so happy that I could just put my credit card down and make it all happen in a couple of weeks.
You mentioned that there was like a lot of different choices you have to make. Was it harder coming into a system like where you weren't used to making choices about a doctor?
Yes. It's very unnerving for British people to be presented with choice of any kind when it can't, generally, and also particularly with medicine.
It's so funny too in your book when you're like, you had just gotten used to the American way of the doctor putting something else on your form to get what you needed, but they had to lie and say it was something else so they could get the full coverage. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a whole thing, which I don't feel like my doctors do that much for me that, but
nobody
it is
ever
totally
did that for me.
Thing.
I was like, I'm clearly going to the wrong doctors.
Yeah, it was all baffling and terrifying and
the hoops we go through.
Totally. But it felt to me like the equivalent of being asked by your airline to choose a pilot.
Right.
It's like, I don't know how to make that choice.
Shouldn't you make that choice?
Can you reach those buttons up there?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Well, and we call it lesbian drafting. Like a lot of us just followed the people that we knew and what they did.
Right.
We were like, you went to this clinic, so then I went there.
Sure. Yeah. Well, actually, the first clinic that I went to was a recommendation from a lesbian couple who had hit the jackpot. They'd had tons of kids. But that was the one that I just, and this is so weird that you start judging on such unscientific criteria that I found the OBGYN when I met her, she was just so drippy and she was like, you know, she had these big sad eyes and she practically stroked my arm like I was bereaved. And I was like, I cannot spend
like,
months
I'm
with
British.
Yeah.
Please don't touch
exactly.
You remind me a lot of my wife. Because I would have been like, I love that she stroked my arm.
I'm like, get off.
Yeah. Space, personal. Back it up.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
So you start picking some doctors.
Yes.
And then what I'm curious about is this 18 months. What were there points
you
where
dithering.
You were stopped? Yeah, I want to know what the dithering was.
I feel like I was like water circling down a drain. I was just like going round and round and round. I was trying to decide whether to use known sperm from a friend, which
right.
is what initially mm-hmm. felt more natural to me.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then I came to the conclusion, like many of us do, that that was just too complicated. And then it was just basically just to getting my nerve up. I kept losing my nerve and I kept thinking, it's too weird. I don't think I can do it. You know, what will people say? Which is so strange because it's not like I live my life like that.
What's weird? What felt weird?
I didn't know anyone. I knew one person who'd done it mm-hmm. and no one in the generation above me. This was someone a few years older. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had no template. I had trouble imagining what it would look like. I didn't know where we were going to live. Mm-hmm. I was also, you know, I felt dislocated in a million different ways. Then I also had this relationship going on at the same time, which was unresolved. Mm. So I just kept getting near to making the decision, then retreating. Mm-hmm. And then the whole thing of even just picking donor sperm, I think if I'd have been embedded in the lesbian community slightly more, all of this would have been normalized because I would have known a million people. I would have just been single, but the donor sperm stuff would have been something I was very familiar with.
Yep.
But I wasn't. I was in a very straight social group.
Right.
So it all felt alien. Probably the donor sperm thing was the biggest hurdle, actually. I just, you know, I was worried that it would be difficult for the kid. I didn't know how you made that choice. It seemed how do you make that
choosing
choice?
Choosing Superman. We say that all the time.
Yeah, yep, it's so weird. And then all the things that I worried about, as it turned out, were meaningless.
Right.
Always,
right? But isn't it terrifying how close you come to making huge decisions on the basis mm-hmm. of nonsense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. We were like, oh, eczema. And then that was the moment where we were like, what are we doing?
Acne. Yeah. Ours was acne. Yeah. We're like, who doesn't get acne? Yeah.
But we were like, oh, what are we? You're being insane.
Oh my God.
But it does feel like this massive life decision you're basing on your computer screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, it's got to be sperm no matter what. Yeah. So yeah. That's... Why are we debating this? It's going to be sperm.
Exactly. And you'll never know. This is the thing. You'll never know.
Right. It could all be lies.
Yeah, it could all be lies. And who cares?
Wait, Jamie. Before we go to our next question, I have to tell you something very serious.
What?
Actually. I found a new snack bar for the kids.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say something awful.
No, I just needed you to understand the gravity and the importance of finding RX bars for kids so that I don't have to give my kids goldfish on yet another long distance road trip.
I love RX bars. You didn't know this. Listen, I don't want to give my kids crap. Mm-mm. I want, as you know, whole food ingredients, especially in smaller kid-friendly flavors.
It's true. It is true. Those kids bars are like fantastic flavors. Mm-hmm. There's chocolate chip, PB&J, double chocolate chip, and peanut butter chocolate. I mean, I had zero problem getting my kids to eat them, which is, as you know, pretty much a miracle.
Yeah. I feel like I tricked my kids into eating a bar that has loads of protein, absolutely zero added sugar, and no gluten, soy, dairy, or bad stuff.
That is a parent win, Jamie. Mm-hmm. And the adult bars are good too. I am all about the blueberry.
Or the mixed berry, or the coconut chocolate. Do I need to list all 14 flavors?
No, Jamie, you do not.
Because I can't.
Good.
But listen, I've just made an executive mom decision that I'm going to use them before and after my workouts, which is good.
Yep.
Because I never have food. For breakfast on the go, I'm going to stock the car with them.
Listen, guys, while Jamie continues to figure out all the places she's going to use RX bars, I've got a deal for our listeners.
Ooh.
RX Bar is offering you an exclusive pack of 6 adult bars and 4 kid bars so that the whole family is able to enjoy for 25% off your first order. Visit rxbar.com/OCT. And enter the promo code OCT at checkout.
OCT at checkout.
Do it.
Yep. So you were dithering.
So I was dithering.
And then you make the decision.
And then I made the decision because eventually, like, panic and self-loathing just became bigger than all the other considerations because sure. I was like, oh my God, look at me. I'm a dithering wreck. This is not a good look.
So, I'm going to be a dithering wreck.
I love that word. It's my new favorite.
So then I made a decision. Oh, because then my 38th birthday was looming. Uh-huh, so that was the kick in the pants that I needed. Mm-hmm. I found a fertility doctor who I connected with, who was a crazy conspiracy theorist who did not ask about my feelings at any point in the process.
You were like, just awesome. Talked about conspiracy. Like, he was like inside you like, hey, let me tell you about this new conspiracy theory.
Why does he have to be inside her? I just
picture her in the stirrups.
It's like a great scene, right? Know.
Visual. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
For the movie version of If These Ovaries Could Talk, you're in the stirrups.
So then, yes, I did that. And then it just started. And then it was amazingly quick. I mean, it was so weird having made the decision, being able to just turn up.
So you pick the sperm.
Yeah.
You found your doctor. You go in. You do IUI.
Yeah.
And it happens quickly.
Relatively. I mean, I make an enormous meal out of it in the book now. I think I string that out for a bit too long.
Yeah, because it's such a unique story.
Yeah.
Doing that whole process.
And it's the thing is, you don't know it's going to be short.
No, you don't.
Or long, you have no idea.
I feel like everyone is constantly telling us that this could be the beginning of like a 15-year life battle, which is going to ruin you financially.
And you're 38 already. Yeah. You're geriatric.
Geriatric, exactly. So I had 4 failures and then the twins.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
which was
good.
Very lucky inside of 6 months.
And twins with IUI.
No, well, yeah, but
medicated,
massively,
but still
over medicated. Yeah, but then I looked into this. Twins with IUI is probably more common.
No,
don't you think? Yeah, because
yes, with medicated IUI
because,
it is.
Yeah,
because they're making. All
I
the
was
more
medicated. Eggs we were both medicated for all our IUIs, and I never thought about. Thank God I didn't know that it's more.
Oh my God! Well, apparently they explained it to me, but I just tuned that stuff out.
Yeah,
right.
Well, you have to, right?
You have to because you wouldn't do it.
Did you go in this thinking, I want a single child?
Oh, God,
I
mean, yeah. It would never, I'm an only child, and I was quite happy with that circumstance.
Yeah.
So I just thought one tiny little
one is good.
Portable baby.
My baby in a bag.
Yeah, in a bag.
Tiny little dog.
Yeah. I honestly had an idea that I could take it with me to the pub in a car seat and just shove it under the table.
Yes. Oh. Don't we all?
I still tried. No, I still try sometimes.
Wait, I want to ask the question before we get off the single mom by choice thing is, did you ever feel like people were coming at you emotionally for making this choice?
I did, but it wasn't as gruesome as I thought it would be. It was men, mainly, who felt somehow personally attacked by the sperm donor thing, which is really weird because I was seeing a woman anyway. It's not like I was being heterosexual.
I'm already off, not available to you. So
exactly. One of them in particular, my friend, he got really uptight about it and said, it's like eugenics. You don't give guys a chance to show you their charm. And I was just like, how is it you think I'm going to do that? I'm never going to meet this guy. This is insane. And then eventually, after I questioned him, it turned out that he believed that he would not have been picked in this lineup. And that he was feeling less than
because you chose Superman,
I guess. And yeah, because he didn't feel he was tall enough. And all of my male friends, and like, but I say this, none of my male friends would have been picked because none of them can catch a ball or throw one. And some of them aren't tall enough. But I would never be picked if I was an egg donor because half of my family are alcoholics. Yeah.
I was trying to weed out the big girl German stock and my alcoholic parents. Like I was like, they look thin and they don't sound drunk. This is a good donor.
Exactly. So there was that. But I didn't mind that because it was like, okay, I understand what's going on there. It's got nothing to do with me. That's just you and your self-esteem. The thing that I found trickier was when it got back to me that people who had been to my face relatively supportive were, these weren't close friends. None of my close friends, to my knowledge, did this, but it was like colleagues. It's always colleagues. It's like
always. It's always the work people.
Isn't it? Always. It's like the structure. It's like they take the position of high school friends.
Yeah.
And it got back to me that someone at work had said classic language that she thought it was problematic what I was doing. Ooh,
that sounds like someone, Linda from HR.
Yeah, right.
It's problematic. Like,
how is it problematic to you? And mind your business.
Exactly.
Really?
I'm going to punch her in the face.
Go raise your own kids.
Exactly.
Linda from HR. But you're a shitty mom.
I know. Exactly. Well, I had all of those sentiments. And then that was it, really. There was nothing. There was nothing from my dad. There was no, there was no problem with any of my social group.
Did you feel like you needed to set up like a support network, like moving into being a single mom?
I mean, it was tricky being in the US because most of my oldest friends are in Britain, but one of my best and oldest friends is here in the city. And I knew that he would step up always.
That's great.
That's nice. Yeah. And in fact, I think he would have been there at the birth if I'd needed him to be.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I felt...
And then you said, I'm fine.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got this.
Do it on my
Don't
own.
Rub Except my arm, please.
Remember the part where I was doing it alone?
I know.
Oh, I do, however, so want you for babysitting.
Exactly. I know. Oh, God. I think I've gotten a bit better about that. I cry slightly more now than I used help. To.
So does my wife. Interesting. Having a baby softens you.
It does. It definitely does. Right. And it hardens you, in other words.
All I do is cry. And I already cried before, so that's a problem.
I'm much more like I'm ruining someone, like a lot.
Yeah.
So my mom was very like, we talked about the alcoholic thing. So she was very like in the room, not in the room, like reading the paper, but like just, I don't like not home.
Oh, wow.
So I have this whole thing of like, I'm constantly like, am I supposed to be spending time with them right now? Is it okay if I just go in my room and watch some TV? Like, I've been with you all day. I'd like to be alone. Is that all right? So I'm constantly second guessing if I'm ruining them.
I think that's normal.
I think that is normal. I think you have to do that, right? I just think that's what good parenting
that's
probably
what parenting is.
Like,
you're always questioning.
But does it need to feel so crappy all the time? Okay, well.
I think that's the point of parenting.
Yeah. Make you feel crappy.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. So back to you, Emma. It works.
It works.
What happens then?
Well, spoiler alert, it was quadruplets for about 2 weeks. Yeah. And then
two of the longest weeks of your life.
Oh my God, what did you do?
I just went and had a huge lunch and ate, like, I ordered every side.
I'm eating for four.
Yeah. I never allow myself to have, like, the cheese fries and, like, the corn and the mashed potato. And I just
and the tater tots.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't freak out because it was so absurd. I just, and also, to be unsentimental, I was not going to be carrying four babies. Mm-hmm. If it required intervention, then that's what was going to happen.
You knew what you were going to do. Yeah. Even did they have that talk with you before? Because it's not IVF.
No, I feel like they didn't. They insist that they did, but
did with my IUI. They did when I tried the many times we did IVF. They
IUI
had that
just,
talk.
IUI just feels like the total cowboy frontier of fertility treatment. Because it's
like, shoot it up there.
Yeah. But it feels more like they really want you to do IVF and they're just doing it until they can say they've done it, and then they're moving you forward.
That's true. They have to give you the full dosage, and then they're like, okay.
By three times, they're like, we want to move this along.
That's exactly it, after three times.
Because their numbers, they have to report their numbers.
Yeah.
If you had this treatment in Britain, you have to be trying on IUI for 12 months before.
Oh my God,
which
that's
is hideous.
So
such a And also such a waste of a woman's life at that age.
So it was four. You went crazy at lunch.
Yeah. I didn't freak out. I just shut down, which, as you will have gathered, I'm very good at.
I'm
good
fine.
For you.
I've got this.
And then two evaporated of their own accord. And by the second scan, there was just two. I was like, what a result. I'm only carrying two babies.
Then it's like a relief.
It was like, oh my gosh, this is the easiest thing in the world. Just two.
Oh, how funny.
Just two.
Yeah.
But had somebody told you that before that?
No, I would have been horrified. If I had conceived two without the threat of four,
right.
I think I would have had a total breakdown.
Well, look at how the universe works.
It's amazing, right? Well, I was officially horrified because I felt like that was the response everybody expected me to have. And I also felt slightly sheepish. It was like, this is what happens when single women try and control Mother Nature.
Yeah. Right.
They get laughed at and they get given more than they can handle.
Ooh, and that's a hard place to be.
I felt a little bit embarrassed. So then I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I don't know how I'm going to da 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 da. But secretly all the while I was like, woohoo, look at me. Two. I am so fertile.
No, it feels good. I mean, yeah. I kind of secretly, don't tell Anne. Secretly was like, oh God, hope maybe it will be twins. That would be cool. But that was after I had been through so much infertility.
Right.
But we've gotten into trouble, Robin and I, talking about like twins. Oh God, no. So scary. And we've had people write in like, you know, twins are not that bad. You guys shouldn't give them such a bad rap.
Well, we're not giving them a bad rap. It's just like not our normal.
Yeah. I just think they are horrifying in the abstract. And then
sure.
Obviously it's the same with all kids. Like
you can't even get out of the house with one kid sometimes, let alone two at the same age in matching outfits.
No, it's not.
So
it's
not. How is it for you? Like being a mom of twins?
Well, it's crazy, but it does take the pressure off. Like, because I cannot helicopter too.
Oh, right.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
All of my smothering instincts have just been blown to smithereens.
Because you can't.
I can't
and
just
also,
do it.
I think for the dynamic of single mom, one kid, that can get like weird.
I totally agree. And my mom had that with me a little bit. I mean, I adored her and we had a great relationship.
Well, too close.
I think a little bit. She treated me more like a friend. I was like a 10-year-old, more like a 40-year-old.
What do you think of this sweater, Emma? You like it?
Yeah, totally.
I totally just did that to my daughter when I left the house just now.
It's fine.
She told me to change. I changed.
She'll be right. She's four.
That's amazing. Really?
She's four.
Oh my gosh. Mine are just about to get into that.
My daughter is the girliest daughter ever, and she's 9, and she so desperately wants us to wear anything better than what we wear. So if I wear like a t-shirt that doesn't have a giant logo for my job on it, she's like, good job, mom.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh God.
So wait, your twins are how old?
Three and a half. They're just coming into their own now. Mm-hmm. Like they're very chatty.
Are they going to start pre-K?
Pre-K in September. Yeah.
Yeah. We just went through that.
Oh really? Wow. I'm excited for them.
It's so good.
Okay. I want to get into your family dynamic.
Okay. Go for it.
Because you mentioned in the book that you are in relationship. Well, actually you mentioned in your elevator pitch.
Yes.
You're in a sort of relationship.
Who lives upstairs.
Yes. He lives upstairs.
And also has one kid of her own.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I have no idea, honestly. So the reason we live upstairs, downstairs is just the real estate market. It just happened. It's the universe. It just happened. Like I was living in Brooklyn. She was in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't know what we were doing. Half of me thought I should move to be near my best friend who was further into Brooklyn because I thought he was my most reliable emotional crutch during this. And then all the cues in life tell you that that's inappropriate. And that even if you are tenuously connected to someone romantically, that is the person you're supposed to bond with to have a kid. And it wasn't appropriate in this case because the one thing we knew was that we were not suited as co-parents. It's weird, but we just knew that.
Do you have different parenting styles?
But, I mean, not in a way that causes conflict when we hang out, but I think if there was actual 100% shared responsibility, there would be a power struggle. Mm. The fact that neither of us represents a threat to the other one's authority means that there's a balance. So,
because you're not in like Brooklyn and Manhattan, you're in the same building and floors.
Yeah.
I imagine like, I don't know, a TV sitcom with people going up and down.
Well, we sold the sitcom, funnily enough.
Did you shut up.
No,
there's going to be a sitcom?
Yeah, the pilot just
landed.
Our first
sitcom star.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know if it's good. I mean, the pilot script just landed, but
we're actors, so.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So tell us.
So, I mean, I'm picturing people running up and down the stairs.
Yeah, that's it. We use the fire escape. I mean, not the outside. It's not on the outside of the building. But
the
interior fire escape.
I was like, your three-year-old is going down the fire. Great. Good parenting choice.
And we also really annoy people by going one stop on the elevator all the time.
How old is her kid?
5. So he can use the elevator on his own.
So you guys met.
Yes.
5 years ago or so.
Yeah.
Right?
Like six years ago.
But her child is 5. So how does that pan out?
She's older than me by a few years. So when we met, she was at the crisis point that
for herself,
which I couldn't see yet. Like, so I was just like, oh, I don't know. Like, why is she blathering on about kids? It's like a million years away. And to her credit, like we were in no position. We weren't there yet. And she was very shrewd. it's this thing that I realized you're either one kind of person or another, or, mm-hmm. or it depends totally on your circumstance. But I just at some point realized that my desire to have a child was completely separate from my desire to be in a relationship. It, that like one was not a function of the other. It wasn't like I want a baby to reflect my love for this person. It was like, I want a baby, full stop. It was just, I want a baby,
full stop.
So once you disconnect those two things, your options change.
And she felt the same way.
She did. She felt the same way.
I mean, what are the chances of two people being in a relationship feeling the exact same way about that?
It's a good thing she wasn't with me, because I would have been like, well, you have to be with me.
Well, maybe she, I don't know, maybe a conversion would have occurred. I don't know, but neither of us was.
You don't want a conversion.
No, that's true.
That's bad. That's a divorce when the kids are eight.
Yeah, you don't want to talk anyone into anything. It's so true.
Do you say girlfriend?
No.
Because you hate girlfriend?
No.
Whoa.
Look at that. I don't know what it's like. This language
for
is
those
so
of
tricky.
You who are listening, Emma just tried to take her headphones off and almost ran out of the room.
No, she did.
It doesn't work for some reason. That term does not work for us.
Girlfriend.
Yeah, girlfriend doesn't work because uh-huh. I suppose because first of all, there's something age. It feels age inappropriate,
sure. Like mm-hmm. high school.
Like my dad. Prom. Yeah, my dad doesn't have a girlfriend either. He has a partner.
Right.
Which Elle, whenever I use that word, she's always like, "You make him sound like he's gay," and which I think is nonsense. Unmarried people have partners. Anyway. Partner is the nearest one can
it's
get.
What you kind of use for each other.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you're not dating other people.
No, exactly. Right. So no one's dating other people.
For the past 5 years.
No, exactly. Nothing.
You've been exclusive.
So it is exclusive.
Yes, it's true.
Okay.
It's exclusive.
Totally exclusive on two separate floors.
Yes.
She said, oh, look, I just met you. This is new, but I'm going to have a baby. And you were like, I get
that. She
was
very clear, like, but it's my baby.
Yeah, totally clear. And I found that insane. Because what is that? That didn't make any sense to me.
Okay, so it was hard for, okay. Right.
Actually, I would have been more alarmed if she'd have said, let's have a baby together.
Right. Like, have you lost your mind?
Exactly.
You just met.
Then I would have just walked.
Yeah. Right.
But as it was, I was like, wow, interesting. Okay, I'll stick around because it's not my problem.
She's going through with it and then she's pregnant and it's happening. And do you guys have a conversation about what your role is going to be?
We're not awesome at having conversations about things. It was sort of apparent because like I supported her throughout the entire process and I was involved, but I understood absolutely that this was not going to be my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that was crucial. Again, I feel like I'm on such thin ice with this language. It was not my baby. And that's not because it wasn't genetically mine. That's not, you know,
right.
It was just that structurally it was not my baby because I had no rights and responsibilities. I wanted my own baby.
Will it progress? Like, would you move in and like, would, or is it how it is with these defined, this is my kid, these are kids, this is your kid?
Yeah. Well, so I think at some point we both of us went through phases of assuming that this was like, we were just incredibly slow burn, right?
Two.
And that we needed all these legal protections because we're both highly controlling, I guess, in some way we must be. But that probably, or possibly, it would morph into something more conventional. And actually, that's not been the case. What's turned out to be the case is that this is exactly the level that we need to be interacting.
And it's working really well.
It is. It works pretty well. There's massive moral support. There's an extra adult who the kids see every day and who...
Oh, every day.
Yeah, practically. They don't... And what's really interesting is they're incredibly close, but of their own sort of discernment, I think they understand it's a difference. It's a category difference. It's not a second parent.
Like, I think the separate apartments helps
it's the big
that.
Show. Exactly.
Because I'm assuming that you spend some nights in your apartment and some nights... I mean, that might be too personal, but I'm assuming there's nights you don't.
We kind of don't just because no one...
There's no sleepovers.
There's no... Not really. The kids just can't manage it doesn't work. It's like it just ends up everyone being awake at 2 a.m. and running around screaming.
Because
it's like a sleepover with your cousin.
They're right. Like cousins.
Yeah, exactly. Cousin, that's what they feel like. Like it feels like that. It's like cousins.
I know.
This is such a... But I have to find a better way to talk about it because it sounds so dysfunctional.
It doesn't sound dysfunctional.
No.
You sound very sure in it and it works for you.
But it's unconventional.
It is. It's very unconventional.
So I think that it's people just trying to get their heads around what your boundaries are. That's what
but
I'm curious
it's
about.
It's only possible because it's two women.
Right.
Because obviously if I had been dating a guy, I couldn't have gone off and had a sperm donor baby. That would have been too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's whose baby is that all the time?
Like your straight friend who was threatened. I mean, imagine it's your boyfriend.
And you weren't even dating.
But so it just, to me, it's sort of emblematic of the fact that women together can just create models that don't exist in the male dominated world.
I mean, you're our most non-traditional family.
Also, I have to say, we grow penises inside of us.
That's
we make
also
them.
True. That's
what
amazing.
Is we happening do make- right
I mean, it's
now,
amazing.
Jamie?
Speaking of babysitting.
We were not speaking of babysitting, Jamie.
I know, but I need to talk about babysitting because I lost another sitter.
I hate that. I'm always losing sitters and I hate it. I'm always looking for coverage.
No, always. And it's a pain in the butt. But you know what the good news is?
Tell me.
I just joined care.com and this time I got the premium membership.
Love care.com.
I know, right?
I used them last night. Mary and I had a date.
Ooh.
I know, we got out on the town. Well, the thing is like when I found out about care.com is that you can just get them for an occasional sitter. I thought at first that they were only for nannies. But I mean, you can get that too, but it's occasional sitters as well.
I know. And I love how you can just type in your zip code and then there's like tons of nannies to choose from.
Oh, doesn't that make you feel like not so alone in the world? Mm-hmm. Like there's going to be help for your family.
Yes, I love that.
We need that.
You know what else?
What?
I just learned this. I thought care.com was only for sitting, mm-hmm. babysitting. It's not. Mm. I was just looking around on the website and they also do pet care and house cleaning. You know I need this.
I feel like you need both of those things.
I do. I mean,
not because you live in a slovenly house.
Not at all. It's very clean. Help. Oh, so much help.
I mean, who doesn't need help? I think all families need help.
Yeah.
And listen, guys out there, if you're listening, I know you need help too. So we're talking to you. If you check out care.com, you can save 30% off their premium membership by visiting care.com/OCT when you subscribe.
True that.
I'm going to do it.
Yep. True that.
You're, stop saying true that.
So I have a question.
Okay.
When your partner was pregnant, mm-hmm. were you afraid that you might like get attached to this baby? And because my fear when Anne was pregnant was that I was going to want, well, I knew I was going to want the baby to want me more.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
I was so afraid that the baby was going to want her more. Like,
totally. Oh God, I had all of that. I tried to be as icy and psychopathic right. as I could. But even I had a ceiling. So yeah. I was jealous. I was massively jealous of her. Not sure. that I wanted to be pregnant, but I didn't like the fact that she turned to other people for advice because what did I know? I didn't, right. you know, so yeah. I found that very excluding. I did worry that I would not be part of this, even though that was the whole point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I was part of it.
Did it bring you closer?
In some ways, and in some ways it was actually really dividing. And until I got pregnant, that's what brought us closer. Because then suddenly everybody knew what everybody else was talking about. Mm-hmm. But when it was, and this is why I knew that I could never, you know, have her baby be our baby, because I just wouldn't feel that it was the way that we both were with each other.
Right. I mean, I get that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there is an element of competition. Like, you know, naturally you're competing for affection.
Well, yeah. I mean, like even to my wife and I, she was having a baby and we both wanted to birth a child.
Right. Right.
We both did. So I get that. Right. I can totally understand that. And there was so much fear wrapped around when Anne was pregnant, and that fear really did subside a lot once I got pregnant.
Did it? Right. Yes. So I think that's normal.
Mary mm-hmm. calls it the upside down triangle. Her, I mean, and some of this is her natural default setting, but she calls it like she always was afraid that I would be on the top of the triangle and the baby would be, and she would be down here. Right. And it was all about us. And she was, no matter what it is, she's on the bottom.
I totally felt that as well. Yeah. And then because I was pregnant with twins, then she got worried because she was like, you bastard.
You want to.
Exactly.
How dare you.
And that's when she said, and I put it in the book, I'm going to have another one. That was her first response what? When I broke the news. She was like, I'm going to have another one.
Oh.
And I was like, go on then.
Oh.
I feel like board games in your house must be like uber competitive.
We've never
I'm just
even
picturing
been
you guys playing tennis, like swing. You're like hitting the ball back and forth.
We did.
Each
we
other.
Played ping pong once and it was ugly.
That sounds like not a bad idea.
Let's not go there.
So yeah, there was definitely an element of competition. But then, yeah, once the absolute mess of having three kids under the age of three or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That's like an amazing crucible for solidarity. Yeah.
I mean,
you have to.
Were
yeah.
you both at each other's births?
Actually, I think I had a really good excuse, which was that it was my book launch in London.
Oh.
No, but
career first.
And the planning was difficult. Anyway, whatever. It's not, I actually can't, it's not my story to tell.
You don't come out bad here. Go.
It's okay. Yeah.
She was at the birth of my girls. She's one of these people who is amazing to have by your side in the medical industrial complex, because she is such a New Yorker. Like if someone could just inject me with cement and I'd be like, I'm sure. No, it doesn't really hurt.
It was right.
Exactly. Whereas she is just cross-questioning doctors all of the time.
Oh, so I love that. Good.
What do the kids call each of you?
First names.
Have you ever heard the kids, has anyone ever asked them to describe their family? And have you ever heard like them describe it?
It's really interesting. This, my girls aren't quite old enough. Although I'm trying to get them, like I'm trying to integrate it all from the day one, like you're supposed to, but they're showing zero interest. So every time I go down the slipstream of where they came from, they're just like zone out.
Right.
I think the way that it's, we're probably going to present it just for like family history at school is just single parent, because it's, this isn't anything. This is like a relationship thing. It's nothing that
it's
they
not
can
your
put into, like given that I can't put it into words, I can't really expect a 5-year old to do it. As they get older though, it will require some extra bit of narrative.
We got another couple of years on that.
And I think we just explain it as a different way of being a family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I love about it is it just seems like as much as you are struggling for the words, you know what it is.
Yeah.
And it works for you guys is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I think it does. In the day-to-day, there's no ambiguity. It's like, these are the pillars of the kids' lives and they're here and they're completely solid and they're completely reliable. Mm-hmm. And it's not complicated. It's just when you hold it up against the model of what it should be in inverted commas that it starts to look kind of deranged.
Right. And when you try to explain it.
Yeah.
Because there are no words. It's just, it's your family and it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially heterosexual couples who I talk to. There are so many of my female friends are like, oh my God, if I could get away with living in a different house.
Right.
That would be awesome.
I feel like you have, Mary and I always talk about, we want to have a divorced father that didn't like, doesn't have anything to do with us.
Yeah.
That takes our kids like 2 days a week.
Right.
And like, and it's like, so it's like we get to still stay together.
Yeah.
But someone takes the kids.
Yeah. A friendly
ex.
Like,
yeah. Right, it totally. Feels like you have that, but like little friends with benefits too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that many benefits.
But do you, does she take your kids sometimes
for
you?
Yeah. We switch. Like what we both hate doing is having all three at once. Cause it's just
so hard.
Hellish.
They're so young too.
Yeah.
But not for long though. When they get a little bit older, my kids are 7 and 9.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yes, that's true.
Because then they'll just be like keeping each other company and punching each other.
Yeah, right. So we're nearly there. But at the moment, she takes one of mine just to give me a minute off. Or I take hers and we switch.
That's nice. You get one-on-one time with the twins.
That's nice.
So that, I mean, that works.
Yeah.
That works.
I think it's beautiful.
Jamie loves everybody.
No, I think it's beautiful. I think what you have going is amazing and you seem so confident and sure of it.
I am.
I bet writing a book helped you process it.
It did. You know what? I have to say, I kind of felt I owed it to the kids.
Hmm.
Can you imagine how unclear I was before I wrote the book?
Oh my God.
This is where I am now.
What your outline was like, I might talk about.
Well, the first draft got returned to me from my publisher with the note.
Full stop.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, you've managed yet again to write a memoir in which you reveal nothing of yourself.
Oh, that's so funny.
So I had another crack.
Yeah. Damn it.
I think we got a good taste of you reading your book.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely.
Everyone should read it. It's so fantastic.
There.
Thank you. Fantastic book.
Your voice is definitely in there.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming by. This was, I mean, fantastic.
Oh, I loved it. Loved it.
Yeah, I know. Is there anything else you want to tell us?
The thing I always come back to is that it felt to me like the insane period was the period of decision making, which is always the case with everything. If it's a job or emigrating or whatever, it's like making the decision feels so horrifying. And the minute you've done it, it's continues to be really hard,
but you're all in.
But it's hard in an ordinary way. I just feel like none of this, in spite of all the words and everything, it's just deeply ordinary.
Yeah, the fear gets in the way.
Our non-traditional families are deeply ordinary.
Yeah.
I think that's part of what we're exposing in a weird way
in
the podcast, is just that we're all just like you, struggling to find a sitter.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and like being resentful and jealous of each other and competing for the kids' affection. Like the dynamic is not that much different from any others.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again for coming in.
It was my great pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Beautiful.
I mean, don't we love the Emma Brocks?
I love the Emma Brocks. That was terrible.
I'm not even going to try.
That was the worst. Well.
When she says dither, I think it sounds dirty. like diddle.
I loved her. What a fun conversation.
Oh, so great. And I just,
and what an interesting story.
And a great, you know what? Their setup works for them. And I love that. And I love how she absolutely knows what she wants and then maybe also doesn't at all. And I kind of love that.
And she's like totally open about, honest about that. Yeah.
I
want to come over there for dinner. Speaking of going to people's houses for dinner.
Let's be inappropriate and ask Emma on air, because we didn't do it in person because we were too scared to invite us over for dinner.
But I want to do both places.
No, we should do appetizers in Elle's apartment and then dinner up at her apartment.
Yeah, let's do
that. Or vice versa. We're not demanding. We'll bring cheese platter.
Anyway, you guys should definitely check out our social media.
Because today
we are announcing the winner of our LV giveaway.
Yes.
Bat LV.
Uh-huh.
The number one Kegel trainer worldwide.
We are giving it away today.
You guys are going to be so mad that you didn't sign up for this.
For our mailing list on ovariestalk.com, because mm-hmm. that's how you entered.
You could still sign up.
I mean, you still can.
But we're going to announce that today, so be sure to check it.
And while you're there, like we said, sign up for our mailing list mm-hmm. on ovariestalk.com, but you can also follow us on the Insta.
Yes, ovaries_talk, and Facebook, If These Ovaries Could Talk.
And Twitter, ovariestalk.
Mm-hmm. And we have to give a huge thank you to Songfinch, mm-hmm. RX Bar, and Care.com.
And don't forget to use the promo code that we gave you on your next purchase yes. for them, for okay. all three of their sponsors. They're fantastic.
We love them. I just ate an RX Bar earlier.
Oh, and you might notice coming up, Songfinch is giving us a little portion of that song that we're going to be using as our outro. So I feel like we should stop talking so people can hear it.
Oh my God. I walk around singing it all the time, which now you all will too.
Look, I'll stop.
Ovaries. Anyways, we'll stop.
It's time.
Okay.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.